Camden Community Radio.
For more information and to volunteer, email info@ccradio.org.
Buddhists, Hollywood stars, cyberpunks, and refugees from around the world all live and work in Camden, this ever-changing and vibrant community. This month, we'll take you on a faith tour of the borough's past and, accompanied by the outgoing mayor, hear some of the fascinating and sometimes surprising religious figures in history that have made their mark on this fair town. And looking forward to the future of Camden, we'll hear from Councillor Georgia Gould about her views on how the next generation of youngsters are being ignored by policymakers and how the diversity of the borough is in danger of declining. She'll tell us about her new book, Wasted, Misunderstanding Britain's Youth, and what she has planned for the youth services in Camden in the coming months. You're listening to Camden Community Radio, and this is a newscast for the month of July.
This is a podcast from Camden Community Radio.
Now, to a sunny Sunday on the streets of Holborn, where myself and CC Radio's Danielle Manning joined the Mayor Lazzuro Pietragnoli and the Camden tour guides on a walking tour of important religious sites in the area.
At times, London can feel a godless and loveless place. We rush from one place we have to be to the next, avoiding all distractions in our hurry. No time to pause and look at the city. No time to listen to the stories it could tell us of its past. No time for contemplating our lives and purpose on this earth. In our minds, we board up the city till all that is left are the tunnels we run down in our daily routine. On a sunny Sunday afternoon, a small band of Camdenites met the outgoing mayor of Camden, Lazzuro Pietragnoli, on Ely Place. With the mayor were guides from the Camden Tour Guides. They would be leading the group on a faith walk around Camden. This was the mayor's idea, as he wanted to end his time in office with a walk to contemplate the history of the borough and the part faith plays in its life.
So why have you come on the walk today?
Well, I'm interested in sort of, you know, Camden, just feeling as a resident of Camden, I should want to have know a bit more about my borough, as it were, especially if it's been led by the mayor, you should know something. And after all, I'm a practicing Catholic, so I'm always interested in other places of worship as well. We're going to be treated with those.
Is the history of your faith important to you?
Yeah, I love it, yes, especially Henry VIII.
And there are other interesting people that have been in this street. The lawyer for the man that shot dead Camden's Prime Minister was had offices here. Spencer Percival, where we're going to finish the walk next week, it's where he lived, Spencer Percival, Prime Minister in 1809 to 1812. And the man that shot him also lived in Camden. Let's hear it for Camden.
Recollect my situation, and that my family was ruined and I was destroyed merely because it was Mr. Percival's pleasure that justice should not be granted.
I counsel you as a friend that we live in a civilised society governed by the rule of law. They will hang you for this.
When a minister sets himself above the laws, as Mr. Percival did, he does it at his own personal risk, surely. If this were not so, the mere will of the minister would become the law. And what then of our precious liberties? Do you have a faith, or do you?
I'm a mishmash. So I think I would say I'm pretty much into faith. I'm very interested in, particularly in spirituality, and I think that all religions are trying to, that there's an awareness of other, whatever you like to call it, energies that exist, and I think that each religion is a way of trying to understand and get closer to that. But
so how did you arrive at that kind of belief, or were you a particular religion? And then
I was brought up Jewish, and I have a Jewish background, but I left that from quite a young child. I had a long time when I not that long time when I was an atheist. Then I joined a church. Then I got involved in a Buddhist. Yeah, so that's why I say I'm a mishmash. And I think that everyone's trying to fathom out what is unfathomable, basically. And I think that the real problem is that different religions then think that each one thinks they are the only one. They've got the right answer, and I think this is what really bothers me.
And Trevithick's Railway was actually where, pretty much where University College London is. He ran a railway there. The first business model for railways wasn't a success. Their idea was not to get from A to B. Their idea was it was just a fun thing. And they built a palisade around this area, and then they had a circular track, and you got on this train called Catch Me Who Can, and you paid a shilling, and the train went round until they told you to get off. And that was what railways were.
You have not come all this way to turn your back. Come on, madam, no need to be shy. Inside, you'll see animal speed overhauled by mechanical power. This machine is faster than a galloping horse, even if the horse was the size of an elephant. Catch Me Who Can, they've called it. Yours to ride for only one shilling.
How long have you been living in Camden, then?
Oh, over half my life. I think since the late 60s, and I shall probably die in Camden.
Why did you come on this walk? Is faith particularly important to you?
I love walking, and I mean, as much as anyone. I mean, I went all my life to a Church of England school in Australia, so I sort of followed, and then my husband and I were married. He was Jewish. He's died very sadly. I find religion interesting, but I like being part of a community more than anything.
There are actually two very important Mary Wards that are associated with Camden. There's the Victorian Mary Ward, who was very much into education, but there is a much earlier Mary Ward, who was around in the early 1600s. She was a very radical woman who wanted to set up her own a congregation of nuns, but she didn't want to live in an enclosed order. She wanted to go out and teach and be part of the community.
Your sisters are like the chattering horses in the street. A woman's road to God lies inside the nunnery, not by prattling like a fool all day for prisoners and children.
My sisters leave the seclusion of the nunnery in order to become guides to souls in need of them. If it were a group of monks doing this, they would be called living saints. There is no such difference between men and women that women may not do great things. I hope in God it will be seen that women in time will do much.
Catholic.
And so it's important to you?
Yes, it is important to me as well. I think one of the reasons I was involved in politics was because I had a deep belief on being helpful to other people from my personal religion point of view.
Yeah. Do you think you're quite unusual in politics to be putting faith at the centre of your kind of mission or whatever?
Indeed. I think it was quite a peculiar decision. I think that faith groups, they play already an important role in Camden life. If you look at the churches, at the mosque, at the synagogue that we have, they're not just places of worship. They're also places where people go there and they run community centre, they run nurseries, they have a lot of activities for people, not just for the people of that specific religion, but they're open to all the people. If I look at my ward, where I live in Primrose Hill, there are two churches, and they do provide shelter accommodation, they do provide activity for elderly people, and they're open to everyone, and they are essentially a hub for the whole community. And we need to recognise that and to support that.
This is a podcast from Camden Community Radio.
From the making of Camden's history, we look to the makers of Camden's future. Councillor Georgia Gold told Danielle about why she decided to write a book about the next generation and why the previous generation should take heed or suffer the consequences.
So Georgia, thank you for talking to me. I enjoyed reading your book. Can you tell me where the name, the title of the book came from?
So I called the book Wasted because I felt that there was a wasted opportunity. I felt that the kind of perception of young people was apathetic, lazy, entitled, and wasted, constantly drunk. Mm. Whereas actually, alcohol use, drug use, smoking has all been reducing. And I just thought that was symbolic of some of the misperceptions and myths we have about young people, which means we miss how much they have to contribute, but also I think we misinterpret some of the challenges they're facing. So almost 1 million young people are unemployed, and if we talk about them as being kind of lazy and picky and entitled, then we actually miss the issues of low pay and the lack of careers advice and training.
Where do you think these stereotypes come from about young people being lazy and entitled?
I think the stereotypes, I mean, a lot of it comes from the media. And I mean, I think that we've always had an issue where people look at previous generations, and I chart this in the book, and people are scared of change, and you know, this the issue of talking about young people as being feral, as being violent, has got a long history. But I think it's getting worse in the sense that there are less institutions and community groups, and in society, less opportunities for the generations to come together. So I think these misperceptions have become a lot deeper, and most of that information about the next generation comes from the media. Mm-hmm. And that, I think that really harms society. I remember I talk about in the book, there was one young man in Glasgow who told me what happened when he tried to help this elderly woman cross the road, and she just starts beating him with her walking stick. But, you know, I'm sure she's not a bad person, but it's just that her, what she's seen is that young people are going to mug her or be dangerous.
Right, okay. Part of what you talk about in the book is, like you just mentioned, the decrease in kind of youth services across the country. But one of the things you do say can help young people further their opportunities and increase social mobility is a mixed classroom. So in Camden, we're lucky enough to have mixed classrooms. We've got very good state schools, we've got good primary schools, good secondary schools. But people talk about the demographic of Camden classrooms changing and people being attracted to Camden classrooms because of their reputation. So more middle class people moving into the area to kind of take advantage of that.
Yeah, I mean, two things. I think that you're absolutely right. I think that it's not just segregation between generations. What I talk about in the book is that we're increasingly segregation between classes. And I think that certainly what I found researching the book is two completely different groups. One, that, you know, their world genuinely is their oyster, that they've got so many opportunities, much more likely to engage in civic and political life, much more likely to have work opportunities, and another group that whose opportunities are very restricted. And I think that mixed communities and finding opportunities for people to come together is absolutely crucial. Schools have a really, really important role. I think that it's where people come together, it's where they learn about community. So yes, I think it's important. In terms of Camden and what's happening in Camden, I think that the demographic change in Camden is huge. Mm-hmm. And I think that aside from just schools, I think that some of the changes in housing and changes in housing benefit in particular mean that it becomes increasingly difficult to rent in Camden. It's really difficult for a working family to stay here. And in my kind of work as a counsellor, like on almost a weekly basis, I have people coming to me who are losing their homes and they're absolutely desperate to stay in Camden because of our community networks, because of the local schools. So it's a problem for schools, but I don't think it's a failure of the housing market more than anything that the schools are doing. And right. I think that it's something we just have to deal with as housing in London.
What particularly inspired you to write this book?
I suppose I was having two parallel conversations. One was with the young people who I was working with in Camden, who were just full of ideas, incredibly creative and energetic, doing really interesting things, volunteering, engaged in politics, but not formal politics. And And then the kind of political debate, the broader political debate and media debate about young people just didn't reflect any of that. And I felt that we were wasting this huge opportunity and that we needed to be engaging young people and bringing them into the conversation. But obviously it could have just been that, you know, Camden, only young people in Camden were that engaged, you know, and it was the rest of the country that everyone was kind of wasted and lazy. So I felt I had to go out and find out. And so I went on this journey around Britain. And what I found absolutely amazed me, and it left me more optimistic than ever about young people and so about the future, but also recognising the huge, huge challenges that they face. And I think that things do have to change and we have to get behind them. And so I suppose I felt that the book is almost a rallying call. It's a call for people to change the way that they relate to the next generation and start giving them opportunities and not taking for granted the future of our political institutions.
So tell me about this journey that you went on, both physically around Britain, speaking to lots of young people, but also the journey for you in writing a book like this. It's a massive undertaking. What was it like?
Well, the I really enjoyed the journey around Britain. It was just an amazing experience. So it was a complete mix of people I spoke to. I went to Eton, I went to Wellington, I went to kind of estates in Glasgow and Bradford, and I taught, you know, like rehearsal studios, talked to youth offenders, talked to all sorts of people in different contexts, which was completely eye-opening, and I had some of the best political discussions I've ever had. But the journey of writing the book was much more difficult because I had all this information and bringing that together, working out a structure. I have to say that the writing was painful and took a lot longer than it was supposed to.
But you did it.
I did it.
So what would your tips be for someone wanting to do something similar?
I think the biggest tip is make sure that you have a structure before you start, because I basically wrote a huge amount that was just poured onto the page, and I kind of got to halfway through and I was just like, this is just terrible. I had one chapter that was 40,000 words long. Wow. And it was just complete like blancmange, you know, it was just every thought I'd ever had on that topic, and I just stopped and I was like, I can't show this to anyone. So I had to start again, but with a tight structure. So I'd worked out, you know, for each chapter, what were the main points, what was the start and end, what I wanted to get across. And I could use some of that content that I created, but I could have saved myself a lot of time.
So what's next for you?
I think that I'm the cabinet member for young people in Camden, and I'm in a really lucky position where I can put some of the ideas of a book into practice. I think Camden, we're just absolutely like so lucky in what we have in terms of so many people committed to children and young people, some great schools, some great youth centres, some businesses that really want to take this agenda seriously. So I think that over the next year, it's just trying to get all our resources in Camden directed at young people and ensuring that every young person has the opportunity to enjoy everything that Camden has to offer, whether it's our museums, our cultural institutions, our job opportunities. So that's my kind of big purpose. And on a wider level, just trying to get the message of the book out there, but really the young people I spoke to, because it's their voices that are important to me. And that's already started to happen in terms of kind of panels and getting them into the spotlight. So I just like to continue to do that.